Proverbs chapter 1, I'm beginning to read at verse 1. We're going through the books of the Bible, as you know, and it's a bit unusual at the very start to read a few verses to begin with, but these are going to be our focus towards the end of the study, or maybe about halfway through. So this is Proverbs chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Imagine the phone rings and it's someone that you know them well, they're a Christian, and you say, "Hi, you okay?" And they say, "No, not really, I just need some advice." "I'm sorry to hear that you're not okay, I'm all ears, just let me know." "Well, I don't have a car at the moment and I can't get anywhere and I don't know what to do, so I just want to run one thing by you. Okay, yeah, you've got my undivided attention. Yeah, I'm happy to give you some advice. What is it you want to know?" "Well, I saw a nice car down the street that I quite like the look of, and I was thinking I would steal it. What do you think?" You ever had a phone conversation like that before? I'm glad I don't have phone conversations like that. But in another sense, it would be good to have one like that because it would be really, really easy, wouldn't it? You just take them straight to the Ten Commandments and you would point out which commandment it was and you would say, "No, you shouldn't steal. That's, you know, something you shouldn't do." Really, really simple. When the two ladies were brought before Solomon, I'm sure you know the story. There was two babies. One was no longer alive. And the two mothers come and there's one baby and they're arguing who owns the baby or who the baby belongs to. There is no Ten Commandments to turn to, is there, that tells you the right answer. You know, Solomon couldn't just go somewhere and look something up and give the proper answer, could he? Of course, he could have pointed out that you're not supposed to steal. He could have pointed out you're not supposed to bear false witness. But the problem is, one of the ladies was willing to do that. One of the ladies was willing to take what didn't belong to her. Yet Solomon had to sort the mess out. What did he need? Well, he needed wisdom to deal with the real life situation in front of him. And that's what wisdom literature, which Proverbs is a piece of wisdom literature, that is what Proverbs is seeking to help us do. It aims to help us cope with the real world. It's God's truth for us. It's not in the sense of "thus says the Lord" or "thou shalt," but it is wisdom for real life, everyday situations, observations to make us think, generalizations to aid us on our way. They're not hard and fast rules, but they are principles to live by. So imagine this, the phone rings. It's someone you know really well. "Hi, are you okay?" "Not really, I just need some advice," they respond. "Sorry to hear that, go for it, I'm all ears." "Well, someone's moving house and they've asked me to be a guarantor. They want me to sign my name on the form so if they don't pay the rent, the person comes and knocks on my door." Well, there's no command about that, is there? But the Proverbs might have something to say. This is what it says in Proverbs: "He who puts up security for another will surely suffer." So you might read that proverb and you might say, "Well, it sounds to me that if they want you to be guarantor, then maybe you should be ready to pay for a month's rent. Because it sounds like the chances are you might have to suffer as a result." See, that's what Proverbs is. It's wisdom for everyday situations. Let me just tell you some of the things that are covered in the book of Proverbs. We have things covered like diligence, laziness, friendship, speech, marriage, child rearing, domestic peace, work, getting along, manners, eternity, integrity, and much, much more. And tonight, my hope is, even though our time is cut short, that this might just whet your appetite somewhat to spend some more time in the book of Proverbs. When you do your daily Bible reading, which I hope you all do, what do you think of when you come across the book of Proverbs. Are you pleased to be reading Proverbs? Or are you a little bit frustrated? I have mixed responses when I see Proverbs come up on the reading list. I enjoy reading Proverbs. I love reading Proverbs. But on the other hand, it's a bit like walking across a pebble beach, isn't it? You're sort of walking across and you just spot something that looks shiny. You think, I'll just have a look at that. And you pick up the pebble and it's, you know, and then you put it back down. You walk a bit further and then you pick up another one. And that's what it's like in Proverbs. You're reading through a chapter and it all is a bit disjointed. You're not quite sure how it fits together. It probably doesn't. But as you're going along, something just catches your eye. Maybe something you don't understand, or maybe something you just need to think about. And that's what Proverbs does. And maybe it will just encourage you just to spend a bit more time delving into the book of Proverbs. The structure, for what it's worth, is something like this. So in chapters 1 to 9, we see the basic invitation to wisdom. So chapters 1 to 9 probably are the most structured out of all of the chapters in the book of Proverbs. And then in chapters 10 through to 22, verse 16, we have the Proverbs of Solomon. In 22:17 to 24, which is just the end of chapter 22, we have what's referred to as the sayings of the wise. In chapters 25 to 29, they are more of Solomon's proverbs, but as compiled by Hezekiah the king. And then the last few chapters, sayings of Agur, and then sayings of King Lamel. And then finally, chapter 31, 30 to 31, the woman of excellence. If there's any single men in there and you find that woman, don't marry her because she's perfect and you'll just, she'll be too good for you. So stay well away from her. Or is that just all men generally? I'm not sure. But anyway, okay. So within the Proverbs, like I said, probably chapters 1 to 9 are the most structured. Also the ones at the end, there is a theme. But then the rest of them, there are just many wise, pithy sayings that are really great just to think about. Obviously, we can't cover them all. And what we're going to do is zoom in on chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, later on, because they're the verses that we read. And they, if you like, are the introduction to the introduction. So it's like the introduction to chapters 1 to 9. But before we do that, I just want to mention some characters that we see in the book of Proverbs. And to understand the book of Proverbs, really, we need to understand these different characters. The main character, or the character that we all want to be like, is the wise, also known as the righteous, the prudent, probably other names as you go through the book of Proverbs. It's just looking at this person from a different angle. But this is the character, the wise. And that's the urge of the entire book, to be wise, to live well in God's world. And to live well in God's world means to embrace God's promises and to be wise. That word wise is also the same word that's used to describe people who are going to make the temple and tabernacle. It's like people of great skill. It's like being able to skillfully navigate life. And if we are relying on God and his promises as the foundation, that will enable us to be wise and cope with the world that we see around us. Secondly, there is a character called the simple. The simple, this is a person who is not committed to either way. He's not committed to wisdom. He's not committed to folly. He can be led very easily. He's probably someone that's a bit of a someone who just blends into the environment that he finds himself in. So if you just go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, we see a mention of this. So just straight away, and we see a parallelism going on as well. That's like in Psalms last week, that runs right through Proverbs. But in Proverbs 14 and verse 15, it says, a simple man believes anything. You know, so that's another figure, this simple one, who isn't a believer, isn't a non-believer, probably a non-believer, but is just led, isn't pursuing wisdom, isn't pursuing folly, is just led either way, depending on who speaks to him first, if you like. Thirdly, there is the fool, also known as the wicked, and again, probably other names as we go through the book. The fool is the person who steadily opposes God and his people and God's promises. Within Proverbs, we are shown that there are even people amongst God's people who are fools. So being surrounded by the wise, unfortunately, it doesn't always catch, although there is a proverb about spending time with wise people and the folly of spending time with foolish people. But you can be part of a wise group of people, but still be a fool. These people resist the offer of forgiveness. They are dangerous in their influence. They cause great grief to their parents. But Proverbs 8:5, just turn there, shows us that they are not beyond hope. So it says in Proverbs 8:5, second part of the verse, "You who are foolish gain understanding." I just love that. They're tucked away in Proverbs. Even this foolish person, there is this exhortation to gain understanding, to not continue in these foolish ways. There is even hope for the fool. Fourthly, although this is probably, I've not put it on the screen, because fourthly, this fourth character is probably just another gradient of the fool. And that is, if you go to chapter 21 and verse 24, it's someone that's described as a mocker or a scoffer, depending on your Bible translation. So this is another character we see in Proverbs. So Proverbs 21 and verse 24, "The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride." So that's the mocker or the scoffer. In 26:12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." It's almost like the scoffer, the mocker, is almost beyond hope because of the position that he's in. So they're the different characters that we see through the book of Proverbs. It's just handy just knowing about those characters and just picking them up as you are reading through the book, which brings us back, sort of in reverse order, right back to chapter 1 and verse 1, as we just look at these opening verses that help us to understand what the book of Proverbs is all about. So I've just got a few different points from these seven verses that show us what Proverbs is all about. The first thing, real people, real world. So you see right at the beginning, verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." These Proverbs are for real people. Solomon was a real person living in the real world. And of course, the majority of the Proverbs are his. So he's a real person. He's a king. So obviously he needs a lot of wisdom. And we just know, even just about those two women, the things he had to face. He was a judge. He had to hear different cases. So this isn't artificial. This isn't for the lecture hall. This is for real life. Just real life, everyday things. And you can see that as you look through Proverbs. And sorry, I've just told you to go back to chapter 1. We're going to flick forward again. This is just some real life. Chapter 12, verse 18. I just picked these at random. I should have picked something out of the earlier chapters, really, but it does keep you active and stops anyone falling asleep. So chapter 12, and if there's not a rustling next to you, nudge them, because obviously, unless they're on an iPad or iPhone, but nudge them anyway, if they're not bringing a proper Bible. No, I'm joking. Okay, chapter 12, verse 18. So just everyday, real example. "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So there we just have an everyday thing, use of the tongue. You know, really, really simple for the real world. Or jump forward to chapter 18 and verse 9. And there's like, not a thousand, but there's many, many examples in between these two verses, just real everyday examples. Chapter 18 and verse 9. "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." So there we go, that's just about work ethic and being people who work hard. So two very simple examples of real life wisdom for the everyday person in the real world. And that's what we get in the book of Proverbs. Notice again in chapter 1, in verse 2, we see that this wisdom is for attaining. Verse 3, for acquiring. And verse 4, it's also for giving. So again, it's real world stuff. Proverbs will lead to us gaining something, understanding, wisdom, discipline, prudent life. But also, it will lead us to being able to pass that on. You notice that in verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple. So you remember the simple? He's the one that's easily led. So we can give, if we are people who have taken on board the Proverbs, we can pass that on and guide the simple, so hopefully he will become one of the wise. So that's the first point. Also in first seven verses, we see that Proverbs are moral, not just intellectual. They are moral, not just intellectual. This sort of flies in the face of what the Greeks believe. They believe that our understanding just need to be educated. But the Proverbs are not exclusively intellectual. Now, they are intellectual in one sense. They feed our minds. I don't know if you've noticed this in your own personal study of Proverbs, how often you will read the Proverbs and you're not given answers. Some of the Proverbs just actually seem to raise more questions in your mind. I think the writer is deliberately drawing us in to the thinking process. That is something that is sadly missing in the modern Western world. People just sit down in front of TVs, easy entertainment, and not having to think. It just all comes packaged to them. But Proverbs is inviting us to think. Do you notice in verse 6 of chapter 1? For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Now, a parable is something where there is not a hidden meaning, but you have to think about it. I love a good riddle. When someone comes up and says, let me tell you a riddle, and you've got to hear what the riddle is and try and figure it out. And Proverbs is referred to as a riddle, some of the parts of it. So we're drawn into thinking. It's like we read a proverb and we're to stop and think about it. We're to puzzle over it. It's to sharpen our eyesight to the world around us. Let me again give you some examples that will get you flicking through Proverbs. So just for example, I've got three of them. And again, there are many, but Proverbs 11 and verse 24. And it's almost just something the writer, Solomon, has just observed. And he's almost just saying to us, have you noticed this? He's not really drawing any, well, he's drawing conclusions and it's, but he's just kind of drawing us into thinking about it. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. It's like, that's something I've observed in the world, and that's something that happens. You know, he doesn't give us an answer, he doesn't give a reason, he doesn't give a formula. You know, he doesn't say, give a fiver, you'll get a tenner back. He's not saying that. It's just something he's observed, and he's just drawing it to our attention to think about and chew over so that we can be enriched by it. Or jump forward to chapter 16 and verse 18. And this will be something that you know. It's quoted slightly differently, but it's a familiar saying. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Again, it's just something he's observed and something he's pointing out to us. And there's a warning in there, isn't there, about being people who are humble and not people who are proud. Or then let's jump forward again to, this is probably one of my favourite of all the Proverbs. This is Proverb 27 and verse 7. It's one that's highlighted in my Bible. Just such a feast in this. Excuse the pun, it wasn't intended. Now I've read the verse, it wasn't intended. But it's, he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And that is just such a thing that he's observed in the world, and he's just written it down for us. It's this wisdom for real life. And just as we think on that, meditate on that, how many lessons are there for so many different spheres of life? You know, if we're full on God, on the Lord Jesus, we're not going to be running to other things. But if we're not full on him and we're hungry in our souls, everything's going to seem sweet to us. You know, just so many lessons that we can draw out of that proverb. And that's what he does. He just brings observations to us just to think on, to chew over, and to get wisdom out of. Just go back again now to the very beginning of Proverbs in chapter 1. See, it is intellectual. It's things to think about, but it's not just intellectual. It's really interesting to see what he says in chapter 1 and verse 3. So he says, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair. So notice, this isn't just about having educated brains and understanding the world. It leads to living differently. Doing right things, being disciplined, having a prudent life, doing what is fair. See, our basic problem is not a lack of information. Our basic problem is our morality. But Proverbs addresses that. If you read the book of Proverbs and you know a lot and you can describe a lot, but you do not live wisely and cope well in the real world, then you have missed the point of Proverbs. It's moral, not just intellectual. Proverbs is also for all stages of life. So again, this is the opening verses. Just look at what we're told these Proverbs are useful for. So we see in verse 4, it's useful, gives prudence to the simple. We see at the end of verse 4, it's useful for knowledge and discretion to the young. We see in verse 5, it's also useful for the wise to add to their learning. So what this is telling us is you never graduate from needing to learn or look at the book of Proverbs. Whatever stage you're at, whether you are simple or wise, young or old, this is for you. Now, I find that really quite amazing, because if you go into Waterstones or WH Smith's or some other place that sells books, there was a bit of a craze not too long ago where they brought out this whole series of The Dummy's Guide To. So it might be The Dummy's Guide To Chainsaws, or The Dummy's Guide To Mechanics, or The Dummy's Guide To Sitting On A Chair, or whatever it is. But I assume that there gets to a point where you don't need The Dummy's Guide anymore. So you exhaust everything there is to know about how to sit on a chair or how to use a chainsaw, and then you need to move from the dummy's guide to the advanced dummy's guide or whatever it is. Isn't it amazing that you never graduate from needing the book of Proverbs? So even if you're simple or young, you need the book of Proverbs. Even if you are really wise and near the top of the pile, if you like, you still need the book of Proverbs. And actually, ironically, if you think you are wise and no longer need the book of Proverbs, we've already quoted it, Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is no more hope. There is more hope for a fool than for him. So if you actually think you're a wise one, you know, I know how things should be, I've got life sorted out, I'm one with all the wisdom. Actually, you're not top of the pile. You are bottom of the pile. There's no hope for you. Probably because you're full of pride and arrogance, not true wisdom. So it's for all stages in life. Okay, last one. Final point, because our time is gone. Final point that we see, and this is the main one, this is where he's getting to in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." That's how to be wise. That's the starting point. A good illustration I recently heard about fear of the Lord was that of the sea. I don't know about you, but we love going to the seaside on holiday. We love splashing in the sea. We love maybe even taking a little swim in the sea. But there's a healthy fear, isn't there? Because it is much more powerful than me. And I'm not going to start being casual or take liberties with the sea. Now that's God. We love and we enjoy who he is and what he is for us and the Lord Jesus. But there is a recognition that he is powerful and mighty, that he's holy, that he is king. And that is the starting point for the rest of the book of Proverbs. Do not read the book of Proverbs without acknowledging that fact, that we are to fear the Lord. So that is a brief introduction to Proverbs. I hope it will encourage you to do some thinking. There's a very practical application on this. Why not? So I don't know what Bible reading plan you do, but why not just one day this week, or one day, in, I don't know, in this month or something, why not just skim over a chapter of Proverbs, or it might only take a few verses, and just pick out one proverb that catches your mind. Just jot it down, put it in your pocket, and when you have chance, pull it out, read it, think about it, chew it over, and it'd be amazing. We might all be wiser people if we all do that.